Okay, well, small turnout today, but I've got the big room, so that's good. Couple of familiar faces, Jonathan, I think, from Academy last year, who might have seen some of these slides, but I'll try and make it a little bit more Debian specific rather than KDE specific. And potentially KDE is still a bit of a dirty word in Debian, although I thought we'd got over that a few years ago, but we'll see how we go. A little bit about myself. I've been using Debian for 10, probably 12 years. I've been a Debian developer since 2000, and I guess I've been doing a number of roles within Debian on the package maintenance side. I've worked in a couple of teams, and my teams are up there on the screen, but I've also worked as a sort of a singleton package maintainer and still maintain a couple of single packages. So really what this talk is about today is what's team maintenance about, what are some of the issues I've seen with team maintenance, what are some of the issues that Debian's going through when we go to this new model of team maintenance, and I'll try and sort of pull out some of the things that I like and some of the things that are working really well, some of the things that aren't working very well at all, and try and pull out some case studies if I can, using some bits and pieces. So I'll go through the portfolio of packages that I look after, as it were. The KDE Extras team is really sort of an adjunct to the main Debian QT KDE maintainers, and we look after the other packages, not the core packages. I think I've lost the microphone. Not the core packages. So KDE Base, KDE Network, all of those, the Extras team don't look after that. We tend to look after a whole bunch of singleton applications, but we try and do that in a common framework. There are some other KDE applications. Amarok works sort of outside the Alioth teams. And then some other packages like Gwenview are just maintained by singleton package maintainers. And I guess we're all adopting slightly different approaches. And I think Martin talked this morning about how you could get a whole bunch of different channels or different teams working in different ways, trying to deliver the same thing, which I guess is a coherent set of Debian packages. Popcorn, and these are the packages which we're currently looking after in the KDE Extras team. I updated this slide from Academy, and the Popcorn numbers have sort of jumped by two or three, and sometimes five, from where they were 6 months ago. So it's a huge increase. I guess for the KDE Extras, I really draw the line at about the 1,000 mark. Anything below 1,000 is really sort of a bunch of niche users. But what I gain from this, the actual numbers aren't that important. What I gain from this is the sort of relativities. People really want media players. People really want sort of digital photo management and those sorts of things. Some of the other bits and pieces down the bottom, things like Striggy, is going to be a big part of KDE 4. It's going to be really integral to the desktop, but as you can see, very low adoption rates at the moment, because I guess people don't realise its potential and people don't know what it's going to do for them. By comparison, one of the other teams I work with is the VoIP team, and you can see up there the Speaks codec and libraries, 40,000. Libc's got 46,000. So for some reason, everyone's got Speak on their machines. Down to Port Audio, PWLib, and Opal, which are really the sort of the H323 stuff, up in the sort of the 28,000-30,000, and you can see, in comparison to the KDE Extras, where we think 3,000 for Popcorn is a good number, in one of the other teams I'm dealing with, 40,000 is a good number, and it I guess it does lend itself to a different style of maintenance and a different style of package maintenance. You get something wrong with Speaks, and you're going to get 40,000 people turning around and being very upset. If we get something wrong with Caffeine or something like that, the user community are going to be a little bit smaller, but not necessarily less vocal. These are the members of the team, well, some of the members of the team. I went back through the commit logs for the last 2 months, and anybody who had done a commit for the last 2 months has got their name up there. Anna's over there in the corner. I think I met Mario the other night at the key signing, and he joined the team as of yesterday, I think. So There's a few people. Anyone else who's not up there, if I've left your name off, just yell. But the team is quite interesting, and I'll talk about it when I go through the individual packages, because not everyone up there is a Debian developer, and some of them are upstream, some of them are just people who work with Ubuntu, and I guess the bulk of them are Debian developers, and that actually I think adds to the strength of the packaging and ensures that we do have a consistent set of packages, and we're not just sort of Debian, totally Debian focused. We are getting inputs from other ways and other areas, and where we are working with upstream or we're working with Ubuntu, I think we get a better product as a result. We've got a README in the top of our SVN tree, and really that's trying to document some ways of working and the way that we think the KDE Extras team should be working as a team. It's interesting sort of comparing some of the different teams that I work in, how the ways of working with individual teams are completely different. In the Package Allegro team, which I work with, everybody just looks after their own packages. We aren't really a team. In fact, the only thing we've got in common is we use a common SVN area. In the KDE Extras team, we have tried to document a common way of contacts, a common set of IRC channels, a common set of mailing lists. We have tried to adopt a common SVN layout, and that's been working reasonably well. A common way of working through SVN build package and commits. And I'll admit, when I first transferred across to sort of Alioth and trying to use things like SVN build package, it was a complete and utter nightmare. It's not intuitive. There wasn't a lot of documentation around at the time, and it really took a fair bit of effort to work out what's going on. How are you supposed to edit patches when you're not working in an export tree and all sorts of stuff like that? And it was a real effort to transfer over. But I think once the effort has been made and we've all transferred over to a common way of working, the benefits and the strengths of team working have really come out. And we can have more than one person working on the same package at the same time, which is really good. However, and it came up in the security discussion a couple of days ago, team maintenance isn't the answer to all ills. Certainly, we get a lot of security bug reports and CVEs from the security team, mainly on the VoIP side. And you'd think that being in a team with 10 or 20 people in the team that everybody would jump to and fix the issue straight away, but that's not really what happens. It's really the specialists who jump in. Versioning, we use a special distribution called Unreleased, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But one of the things we've got set up is a thing called buildserver.net, which is a bunch of build Ds, but it builds our current SVN archive across both the Debian releases and the Ubuntu releases, and that's actually been really quite powerful for both uncovering bugs, but also being able to provide different versions of packages, so people who want backported packages or want packages from other distributions can do it. And finally, we've got a mechanism in there for some automatic backport hooks. So we've got a directory layout, and the package maintainer can stick in the package, if they want to make changes to build depends to take account different distributions, they can do that. Buildserver.net. I think this is a good way to go, and I think this could potentially be picked up across the entirety of Debian. It's not really a special thing for KDE Extras. Didn't actually come from KDE Extras. Killian Krause is part of the package VoIP team. He is a Debian maintainer, and he basically built a build D, which builds both Debian and Ubuntu packages from the same SVN archive. The package, or I guess the releases up there, are a little bit dated on both the Debian and the Ubuntu sides, but that's currently where we're at. He needs to go in and update to pull Lenny and Gutsy and all those other bits and pieces. But the concept's really good, and I think the concept's quite sound, and I think it's somewhere that Debian, as I said, Debian does need to look at going forward with. Because what this build server does is it takes the Debian directory from a SVN archive. We've got a Debian rules script to pull the upstream source. Now, that might be either pulling the upstream source directly through some scripts, or I might just go to the Debian archive and pull the latest version of the Debian .org.tar.gzip. And then it goes away and does its magic, does its build D magic, and produces the binaries. And as you can see down there, sticks it in an archive in a format which is suitable to stick in your app sources line. And a lot of people from various bits and pieces drop us email and the like and say, yep, we've pulled this package or we've pulled this package. And effectively what these build Ds do is for every SVN commit we make, it will generate a new set of packages, provided the dependencies can be met and there aren't build packages. I think it runs on about a 6-hourly cycle, so it isn't actually picking up every single commit, sort of every commit over 6 hours, and quite powerful. And here's one of the example outputs. This is the DigiCam package, a little bit dated. This is building 8.2, but you can see up there it's in sort of the standard build D layout with sort of installed and needs build and building or failed, fails on Sarge because it can't meet some of the. Don't know why it fails on Sarge. But that's the sort of interface you get, and we can dig into those logs and actually have a good look at what's going on. I'll just jump into some of the applications now and pull out some of the application-specific issues which we've seen in building the packages. Caffeine, you saw, was at the top of the list in terms of PopCon, and we did have some issues with the documentation because it came under the free documentation license. But Debian was happy and we could consider them DFSG because it didn't contain any unmodifiable parts. So we've been able to pull that across. Great for digital TV. I've been using it since I've been here in Edinburgh. Great digital TV in Edinburgh. K-Media Player. Or KM Player, was originally only available through Christian Marilat's Debian Multimedia Archive because it did use the non-free M Player. And KM Player has been moved along a bit, and it's now able to use both GStreamer and Zine, which we do have Debian, so we were able to package this up and stick it in the Debian archive. DigiCam, really good photo management, works probably equally as well outside of KDE as it does inside KDE. And we've had some real success here. Tom Albers, who's one of the upstreams from the DigiCam project, he's also got a few other projects, he regularly commits, and HM Bonnet does some Ubuntu packages and some other stuff for us, neither of which are Debian developers, so that's really good. We've got 0.9.2, actually uploaded the final in experimental due to some library dependencies and library transitions which are going through. And the only comment, as it says down there, is what's happening with DigiCam is upstream are spinning off a whole bunch of libraries, libkdcraw, libkxiv2 and libkexif. And I guess the state and the maturity of the library development isn't quite there. And we are having issues and almost education issues with, okay, well, we'd like to get version symbols in the libraries. We'd like to make SO name changes at sensible points rather than every release of the application. And I think binary distributions like Debian and like Ubuntu probably see the impact of I guess immature library maintainership more than people who are just building things from source, because we really do depend on it. But through guys like Tom and HM, we've been working fairly successfully with upstream, and we're getting those libraries into a reasonable sort of state. Kyle. Again, the documentation with Kyle is under the FDL, but we didn't really have any issues because it doesn't contain any invariant sections, so we've got that in the archive. KIPI plugins. Again, we've got Tom Albers from Upstream, who's working with us and regularly commits. We've been pulling patches from Upstream into ours. It does use some non-free components like MJPEG tools, which is a bit of a concern because we obviously don't ship it, but Debian Multimedia do. And the other good thing about KIPI plugins is it works across a whole bunch of KDE applications, not just DigiCam. 'Twinkl. It's a voice over IP package, but we maintain it in the KDE Extras team, I think. Maybe not. There have been a few issues with it. There was an audio codec called ILBC, Internet Low Bandwidth Codec. And what Upstream and 'Twinkl had done is they'd taken this ILBC library and included the source verbatim in the 'Twinkl library, in the 'Twinkl code. And also doing a bit of a code audit across some of the other packages we had in the VoIP archive. Asterix also included a copy of the ILBC source code, and OpenH323 included a copy of the ILBC source code, as well as a few others. Problem with that is the ILCB source code is non-free. There's all sorts of distribution issues with it. It's got a really bizarre license where you have to notify them whenever you want to use it or whenever you want to change it, which obviously fails the Debian Free Software guidelines. We worked quite well with 'Twinkl and got ILCB removed, and he now has a build time option where if people do wish to use ILBC, then he's provided, or Upstream for 'Twinkl have provided a build time option where if you have the ILCB libraries installed on your system, 'Twinkl will recognise that. But that was quite a good case where working with Upstream, we got a good result. Works well with the KDE address book, but we also would like to have a non-KDE dependent variant in the Debian archive. We're currently building this with CDBS. Ideally, I'd like to be able to just sort of run CDBS twice on the package, once with the address book integration in the configuration flag, and a second time without the address book dependencies and the configuration, and spit out two packages. Can't find a really straightforward way of doing this at the moment. Happy to take suggestions. Codeine, another media player. I quite like this. It has a very slick interface, as you can see up there. Not a whole bunch of buttons and toolbars and all that sort of stuff. Fairly small footprint. We have rebadged this or repackaged this as a .dfsg package, and that's because it has a really bizarre, redundant FDL doctor that doesn't have anything in it, but we can't ship that one directory with the one file in it. So we strip that that single file out, and then we can ship it in Debian quite well. KIAX is another VoIP user interface. It only supports the IAX protocol. It doesn't support SIP. So its uses are fairly specialized. Asterix does support IAX, and a few commercial VoIP providers provide IAX. Again, this ILBC library was embedded in here, so we stripped it out, repackaged the Upstream tarball, made it DFSG, and George Danchov from Bulgaria, did the original packaging. He's not a Debian maintainer, but he needed the Debian packages, so we worked with him. He's a member of our Alioth team, so he has commit rights and works with us to keep this package up to date. So I'll just do a little bit of a talk about Debian QA. This is not a dissimilar slide to one I put up at Academy last year. I know there's been a little bit of a flame fest about who's in front and who's Upstream, Ubuntu or ourselves. So for the packages we've been talking about, I've done a little bit of a comparison. And really, there's not much in it at all. People are pretty neck and neck. The two reds up there, KM Player and DigiCam, I think Gutsy's sort of one release behind. But I'll give you an example. Asterix, the top line up there, that 1.4.5 release I did while I was up here at DebConf, and you can see Gutsy's already got 1.4.5.1 Ubuntu 1. So the Ubuntu guys are pretty quick off the mark and pulling things across. The changes in yellow are really just sort of minor, I guess, point releases. There does seem to be a little bit of reformatting in terms of change logs, and Ubuntu are adding in some really minor sort of control file upstream maintainer lines or something like that. So it sort of seems as if each one's going to have a new sort of Ubuntu version on it, even if there isn't any substantive change to the source. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that. Talking a little bit about Debian quality assurance, I presume everybody's seen this page. From my perspective, well, probably not the KDE Extras team, but probably this page for packages you're interested in or packages you look after, I really find this, and I think the team finds this quite invaluable, because it really is a good switchboard. It has access and links out to most of the places where you want to go, links to the BTS, links to the package tracking system, links to excuses and build D repositories and things like this. And I'd certainly say on a sort of a daily basis, I use this QA page to check up on the status of packages, work out what the to-do list is, and try and sort of work out where the effort needs to be placed. Having the PopCon line in there is quite useful, because that helps focus the priorities as to which are high priorities and which aren't high priorities. So I think from an infrastructure perspective, this is a fantastic resource that Debian does provide. One of the things I would like to see in here is perhaps a little bit better integration with Ubuntu, for example. I mean, you go into the package tracking system and you can get all the Ubuntu packages for the relevant package. I don't see any reason why the version fields here couldn't be tracking both Ubuntu versions and Debian versions, because sometimes there are patches in one or the other that are relevant and quite useful. Just a little bit about the bug tracking system and synchronization with the KDE bug tracking system. And really, what I'm talking about is the BTS link facility. And you can see up there, a few of our bugs are sort of forwarded upstream to the relevant KDE bug number or bug report. And like, if you look at the second one down, caffeine, you can see there it's confirmed. It's been tagged as fixed upstream, and it's been tagged as upstream. And what the BTS link function does is it actually goes and has a look at upstream links, and when the upstream actually change the bug status, or the upstream bug status to fix, that then comes back and provides a user tag into the Debian BTS, so we get an indication that the bug has been fixed upstream, and potentially we can pull forward that change. That particular bug is actually a Zine bug, so we need to move that bug across to Zine. The system doesn't work as perfectly as it always should, because if upstream marks a bug as invalid or resolved, because it's outside of their scope, it'll just appear in the BTS as being fixed, even if it isn't fixed. So we've had some issues where bugs haven't been resolved as easily as they could. Little bit of discussion about the interaction with the KDE and the Ubuntu developers. I think, and the couple of examples I've used so far where we are working closely with upstream or working closely with the Ubuntu teams, I think have yielded real results and real dividends. But I am a little bit disappointed that the Ubuntu guys, when they make patches, all they've got to do is throw a line into the BTS, into our BTS, and say, "Hey, we've made these patches. Would you consider them? Would you think about applying them?" I have, on the odd occasion, received patches from Ubuntu, but it has really been quite a rare event. And I think there could be a lot more work done, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to package up fundamentally the same set of software in fundamentally the same format. With the KDE integration, I think that's working really well. We've got the synchronisation with the BTS, and we use that a fair bit. And we are engaged with the sort of upstream developers. And where we are engaged, I think it has real benefits for both parties. The upstream developers get access to real live users, real live problems that can only come about through a binary package distribution. I guess traditionally your average user of a binary package distribution is going to have a lower knowledge threshold than your average user of who goes out and rolls their own. So it is a different community. And finally, my little advertisement. I really think that the way we're using svn.debian.org and building the packages straight out of it into build servers, great. I think it has real potential for just having one source and one version of the truth, rather than a little archive over here and a little archive over there, and nobody really knows where they're going and what's the true authoritative source. Anyone can have an account on Alioth, I guess most people here probably do, so I'm probably preaching to the converted. But again, a bit of an advertisement for the KDE Extras team to try and get some people, some other people who've got some interest, either Ubuntu users or upstream or whoever else, come and talk to us. And if you can, I say if you can spell SVN and Debian rules, a bit tongue-in-cheek. But I think it's quite useful, and it's quite easy if people know what they're talking about, then we're probably quite happy to give them access. So that's all I have to say. I guess I've galloped through it. Haven't been any questions throughout, so I'll open the floor if anyone does have any questions or any observations. I guess the other thing I should mention is we've got a BOF on, when's the BOF, Anna? Saturday? What time? 9.
It can't be 9.
9:50.
10.
Yeah, something like that. 9:30. Yeah. 30 minutes past 9 on Saturday. Yeah. I won't actually be there. I'm heading off tomorrow. But some of the KDE core team are going to be there and have a little bit more of a cozy discussion rather than sort of standing up here and talking. Anyway, you have a question.
Hi. I'm just wondering what sort of packages you want to take up into your team. Are you just pretty much taking up everything that looks like KDE, or are you strictly limiting yourself to what upstream KDE has in their extras?
It's not focused on just what upstream KDE considers to be their extras, although there is a upstream KDE extras archive, I guess. Really, what we've tried to do with this is just sort of have a common area and a common way of working where people are building KDE or Qt dependent packages, because I guess there are similarities in how we interface with libraries and all that sort of stuff. But if you think you might be vaguely interested or fall into the sort of areas that we're working
in. Well, I could unload a couple of packages onto you. No, I don't, but I'm... I sort of listened to you online downstairs. I might have sort of missed it, but what sort of assurances do you think you'll have that, you know, it's not just like another Java team where like people are just maintaining their own packages and having a big mailing list together, and it's really not a team anymore at the end? Because ultimately, I can't see like every developer being interested in all these packages.
No, and I think that's a fair call too. I don't think every developer is interested in every package, but where there is a common repository, I think sort of dropping packages through or orphaning packages or just dropping them through to the QA team because the current maintainer doesn't want to maintain them. Something like the KDE Extras team is could be quite a useful staging ground. I guess there are a few of us who are specifically interested in a few of the packages in there. But if sort of other packages, rather than dropping through to the QA team and being orphaned, are looking for a home and are going to be relatively straightforward to maintain, and if they are KDE packages, then fundamentally we should understand sort of how they work and how the build cycle works, then that could actually be quite a useful team or quite a useful place to drop them into. I guess one of the things that we are going to be seeing over the next little while is there will be some packages transitioning. This is upstream with KDE. There will be some packages or some applications transitioning from sort of standalone applications into the KDE core. Striggy, for example, I think is going to be one that's definitely going to come out with KDE 4. Is that true? Yep. And DigiCam, there's been a lot of talk upstream about whether DigiCam should move into the graphics archive, and I think the DigiCam guys have decided to keep themselves on a separate release cycle. But I could envisage where packages might move into the KDE core and might move out of the KDE core. I guess it sort of depends on popularity more than anything else.
That's sort of the other issue that came to my mind. Why did you think you had to make a KDE extras team and not just sort of use the KDE team as it is?
Well, we are actually almost a sub team within the KDE team. Right. We actually use the KDE team SVN archive, and we have our own branch off to one side within that. But we do have our own mailing lists, and really, I guess.
Okay, so is that you're actually the same group on Alioth, you're just sort of a
we're the same group on Alioth, but we do have two different mailing lists.
Okay, I see. Okay.
And there are some people who are more active in the KDE core team,
right.
And there are some people like myself, for example, I'm more active in the KDE extras team, and I really have little engagement with the KDE core team.
Okay. Hello. Your comments about Ubuntu are not unfair at all. They're pretty accurate, I suspect. I make Ubuntu for anybody who doesn't know. And although I try to send patches upstream, I'm not. Firstly, I sometimes forget about it just because I'm a bit useless that way. And secondly, I'm not quite sure what the best format is for sending patches upstream. And as for, having a diff in general, obviously the whole of Ubuntu is interested in having as small a diff as possible from Debian in every way. Most of those are caused by us packaging things slightly before or at exactly the same time as Debian. And it's kind of hard to avoid that. For example, with Amarok, I don't know, is Amarok done by your team?
No, Amarok's, and I did have Amarok up as an earlier one. It's not maintained by the core Debian KDE team, and it's not maintained by the KDE Extras team. Anna is part of but it is maintained by KDE people. But I think it's using Bazaar on a people.debian.org account. And I mean, the whole point, and it's been, I guess, a bit of a recurring theme through DevConf is we've got a whole bunch of teams, and all the teams are using slightly different methods of achieving the same thing. And I think that's one of the things I really admire about Ubuntu is because it has been set up sort of mid-cycle and hasn't grown up over the 10 or 15 years that Debian's grown up, Ubuntu has been able to sort of implement a standard process and a standard workflow across the team. Yeah.
So that example of Amarok, I just uploaded it from downstairs, but because it's just been released, probably while you've been talking. And it's hard to be able to coordinate that with Debian because in Ubuntu we certainly want to be the first with every package that's out, and Debian packagers may or may not want to do that, but it's hard to coordinate things while you're both racing towards the same deadline of it's going to be released in this hour and we want to have packages available for this hour. And a lot of the diffs, the smaller diffs of the packages, you said the Ubuntu packages have a very tiny diff. What often causes that is we need a patch for Rosetta support, which is the web translation thingy on Launchpad. And that needs a small patch for every KDE package. There's probably a number of packages that, if that patch was taken upstream by Debian, wouldn't have to have any diff at all anymore. But I'm very reluctant to say to Debian, please take this Ubuntu-specific patch, because I think, I'd worry that there would be a backlash if I started sending up patches, requesting Debian to take patches, which are only for us.
That particular case,
case would actually not exist. That particular case would actually not exist if those packages were using CDBS, right? Which I understand was due.
It's patched to the code, so it to the source code of the KDE package.
Oh, it's actually in the source code. Okay, then I must be confusing that with the language pack support, I think.
Language pack was another one I was going to
mention. Okay, that's different then. Okay, then.
One of the things that I guess possibly Debian and Ubuntu could explore would be to have a common repository, a common version control system for where we both keep our Debian directories. And if we want to create an Ubuntu branch and a Debian branch, do you think that would be workable? I know the Ubuntu model's a bit different because you're not necessarily the one person who's uploading Amarok, but if you had commit rights to the Debian Amarok archive, and then you could work together as an Ubuntu and a Debian team, and if one releases ahead of the other, you could branch or fork, but then merge back at the end of the process seems to be what would be useful. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. There's a couple of issues with that, mostly in Ubuntu in general, we only like to use BZR, and me in specific, because I'm an employee of Canonical, I can only use BZR because Canonical puts in a lot of money into that, and if I go around using other revision control systems, then they get very upset. And also, Subversion isn't very good at doing branching and merging stuff, so I would be reluctant to do it anyway with Subversion just because it's not that good for it. So if Debian moved to BZR, and it's interesting that Amarok is in BZR, I didn't know that, I'll take a look at that. That certainly becomes a lot easier. Of course, I'm very reluctant to say to Debian that you must move to BZR just for the sake of Ubuntu. I think that might get quite a lot of backlash too.
Yeah, the other patch that I don't really understand is like this one up here, where you change it from you change the maintainer to a sort of a maintainer and a what is it an XSBC original maintainer.
That is done because Debian requests it for all Ubuntu packages.
Oh, okay.
So packages which are synced from Debian will have that automatically done by our build daemons, but if there's any slight diff, then we have to make that change manually, because Debian said, can you please not have...
Okay, if there weren't the other little diffs that were in this package, it wouldn't get that
be necessary.
Maintainer field change. Okay, well, that's
Or it would happen automatically, it wouldn't be an issue anyway.
Hmm.
And we also have a slightly different packaging style for build prep patches. Debian puts in these large libtoolizing automate patches for updating the KDE auto tools files into whatever Debian happens to be using. And I, just for simplicity, on behalf of the packager, don't tend to bother making those into patches and just have them directly in the .diff.gz.
Mm.
And
I must admit, I find the whole build prep voodoo.
Right. That will go away in KDE4.
Right. Yeah, really, really quite confusing and difficult to implement. So, yeah.
And what was the other similar thing? Oh, yes, Debian tends to take branch patches of the main KDE core packages, which I tend not to do just because if it does introduce bugs, then KDE developers get annoyed that we're not releasing standard KDE releases.
Mm. I know the cases where we've pulled patches from upstream, it has been to fix specific bugs.
Mm.
And I guess there is always the issue that whilst it's fixed one bug, it may reintroduce something. I don't know if the core KDE team pull much from upstream.
Core KDE tends to just do a whole branch pull for uploading KDE packages, yes? Sure. We can talk about it on Saturday more anyway.
Okay, well, we're at the 5-minute window, so if there aren't any further questions, it might be time to close up. Thank you for coming along.